Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 199 for the June 2024 solicitations. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items in the upcoming solicitations that you might find interesting. Now, comics are a pre-order business, so whether we like it or not, it behooves us to take a look at what's going to be offered a couple of months out and let our retailers know so they can order appropriately. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to promote the comics you love as often as you can. Now, there are thousands of items solicited every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle, or just fly beneath your radar. We'll be starting with the DC Connect catalog, followed by the Marvel's Previews catalog, and then working our way through the Diamond Previews catalog. Obviously, we aren't going to go item by item, or page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Marvel Previews, and Diamond Previews. I find these incredibly helpful to find out what's coming out a few months from now and kind of plan my order appropriately. Sometimes there's stuff that sounds good on paper, but I look at the art, or something about the solicitation doesn't work for me, or there's something that I wouldn't have noticed unless, you know, the art had caught my eye, or the solicitation looks pretty cool, or something like that. Matter of fact, there have been a couple of times where I'll see something and realize I missed the first two issues or something like that, and go order them. So just flipping through these catalogs is kind of my monthly equivalent of the old Sears Toys catalog when I was a kid, of, you know, finding out what cool things were out there to be had and then making sure I got them as best I could. So whether you get the printed catalogs or not, this information is available online at the various websites for the distributors and the publishers and such. Comics are a pre-order business. It makes sense to know what's coming out so you can let your retailer know so they can have it so you can get it. So once again, my first pick is the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Marvel Previews, and Diamond Previews.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first DC pick this month is on page 5 with Superman number 17, written by Joshua Williamson, art and main cover by Jamal Campbell, and that's the one I'll be getting, variant covers by Tony S. Daniel, Stepan Sejic, and I hope I said that name correctly, and Francisco Matina. There's also a 1 in 25 variant cover by Chuma Hill, a Resistance variant cover by Mikhail Janin, a DC Superpowers variant cover by Jason Geyer and Alex Saviuk. There's also a swimsuit variant cover by Elizabeth Torque. The cover price for the regular edition is $4.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $5.99. This issue is scheduled to be on sale on August 21st. After the traumatic events of Absolute Power No. 2, Superman and Zatanna trek into the darkest areas of the DC Universe to find a way to stop Waller and her growing army. Powerless and without magic, are they willing to make a deal with the devil to save the world? I'm not getting the Absolute Power event series, and I usually stay away from any of these events by Marvel or DC, unless it's very Superman-specific. But it still sounds like an interesting story, and I hope that the creative team will, in the process of telling the story, be able to fill me in on what's previously happened in the Absolute Power miniseries.
Next up, on page 8 of the DC Connect, is the Zero Hour 30th Anniversary Special number 1. Now, this is an 80-page one-shot. It's written by Dan Jurgens and Ron Mars. It's got art by Dan Jurgens, Daryl Banks, Jerry Ordway, Paul Pelletier, and Kelly Jones, and more. I mean, it's 80 pages. It's going to take a couple of artists to do this. They've got It looks like a $9.99 base price, and then there's a variant with a cardstock cover that's also $9.99, which is interesting. Usually those are a buck more. Obviously, it's been 30 years since Zero Hour. What I find interesting is the cover of this. It's a wraparound cover. It looks beautiful. It's got Hal Jordan as Parallax. It's got Kyle as Green Lantern. It's got Barbara Gordon as Batgirl. It's got the Fatal Five. They had nothing to do with the original Zero Hour, so this is going to be a new story. It looks like it's got the Connor Hawk Green Arrow. It's got the Jack Knight Starman. Oh, I forget his name, but the young version of Ray. It's also got Supergirl, but in a black costume, kind of like the one Superman was in around this time frame. It's also got either Wonder Woman or Wonder Girl, and I'm really not sure which, but maybe it's Wonder Woman, but it's in a blue costume akin to Wonder Girl's red costume with the stars and stuff on it. So, could be either. Either way, it's looking like this is going to be a brand new story set within that time frame. It seems like maybe Parallax actually did successfully create an alternate timeline that we see the adventure of here before it flipped back to what we know post-Zero Hour. So this may just kind of slide into the Zero Hour events. Don't know. Either way, looks interesting. It's got the Fatal Five, Legion of Superheroes group of supervillains, so definitely intrigued on that basis. Plus the Batgirl, Supergirl, and Wonder Woman, Wonder Girl stuff has me intrigued. And again, beautiful cover by Jurgens and Ordway here. So, looking forward to this. Once again, that's the Zero Hour 30th Anniversary Special Number 1 on page 8 of the DC Connect.
Billy Hogan again. My second DC pick is on page 10 with Jenny Sparks, number 1 of a 6-issue miniseries. Written by Tom King. Art and cover by Jeff Spokes, which is the cover I'll be getting. Variant covers by Guillaume March and Homare, and I hope I pronounced those names correctly. A 1-in-25 variant cover by Sawi. The cover price of the regular edition is $4.99 for 40 pages and $5.99 for the cardstock variant covers. This issue is scheduled to be on sale on August 21st. The Wild Storm begins. What could four strangers have to do with the fate of the world? Find out as Captain Atom goes rogue, threatening to destroy the planet he once swore to protect. Can any hero stop him? Well, it may take the most unconventional of them all, Jenny Sparks, the one woman tasked with keeping all the heroes in line, no matter the cost. With a snap of her fingers, she's entered the fray and won't quit until the job is done. The spirit of the 20th century returns for the 21st in this action-packed new miniseries by Eisner Award-winning writer Tom King, who wrote for the titles Wonder Woman and Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, and artist Jeff Spokes. Now, I've read a little bit of The Authority, but not a whole lot, and I'm looking forward to reading the entire series in the future. I've mainly read her story in a team-up with Planetary, which you can find in the trade paperback Planetary Parallel Worlds. So I'm looking forward to this new adventure with Jenny Sparks.
Hey, this is James here with my first pick in the DC Connect. And the comic that I was going to be calling out on is on page 14, where we have Dark Knights of Steel All Winter Number 2. Now, I know All Winter Number 1 was solicited last month. I forgot to do a clip on it, even though it was something I was interested in. This is an Elseworlds title, and it's the one thing that gives me a little bit of hesitation. I did pre-order the first issue, is it says written by J. Kristoff and Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor did the Dark Knights of Steel, which I really enjoyed, but was super delayed. Every issue, you know, there's 3 months between issues. It was kind of crazy trying to keep my head around what was going on or remember what was happening because of the delays. In this one, I'm hoping with this J. Kristoff, who I'm not familiar with as a writer, maybe that's just to keep Tom Taylor on basically keeping the trains running. Hey, Tom Taylor, give me your plot. What's supposed to be happening? I'll write it for you because apparently you don't have time or you can't keep a schedule. So I'm hoping that works out in a good way. And the art is by Teresa Cons and Ricardo Federici. Ricardo, I'm familiar with. Teresa, I am not. And I'll just read you about this. It's basically like an Elseworlds. Dark Knights of Steel was taking the characters we all know, Batman, Superman, and reimagining them as characters in almost like Merlin and the Camelot, the Knights of Camelot and Arthurian legend. And this one is taking place in Valhalla. I wouldn't say Valhalla, but Viking lore. It says, Deathstroke's past, present, collide when he discovers the source of Vandar Savage's ire is being protected by Adeline, Deathstroke's wife, but what she has his possession might be the only thing capable of stopping the endless winter for good. Crossing Vandar is dangerous enough, but the request will be barely have... I can't talk. But their quest will barely have begun before tragedy strikes. I love Viking stuff when it's done well. I like Tom Taylor when he writes something well. I'm hoping this works for me. I'll probably, after I read the first issue or two, know whether I'm going to be keeping it on my pull list or not. But this is a 6-issue miniseries, so this is 2 of 6. But if it's not good, I will not see it through. I have no hesitation pulling the plug on a miniseries. But if it sounds like something you may enjoy, check it out. On to my next pick.
This is Nick with a pick from the DC Connect catalog. In their effort to kick off a bunch of these Elseworlds titles again, this is Dark Knights of Steel All Winter issue number 2. Now, the thing that caught my attention this time, it's a $4.99 issue, 40 pages, listed as 2 of 6. And I talked about the first issue last month, but this time, like I said, what caught my attention was it mentions a backup story. So we still have the whole Viking, Vandal, Savage type thing going on in the main story. But it mentions here, superstar writer Tom Taylor returns to the world of Dark Knights of Steel with artist Ricardo Federici to tell the story of an orphan child, heir to the throne of Atlantis. Atlantis, whose arrival will signal prosperity or terror. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Not sure what quite to make of it all, but did want to pass that along. And it looks like the main story there is still by J. Kristoff with art by Tirso Cons.
Billy Hogan again. My third DC pick is on page 15 with Batman Gotham by Gaslight, the Kryptonian Age number 3 of a 6-issue miniseries. Written by Andy Diggle. Art and cover by Leandro Fernandez, which is the cover I'll be getting. Variant covers are by Francesco Francavilla and Felipe Massafara. The cover price for the regular edition is $4.99 for 40 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $5.99, and this issue is scheduled to be on sale on August 14th. Adam Strange's understanding of the ancient world is flipped upside down as he's saved by Diana of Themyscira. Batman searches for the Jade Ring of Zhong Li and goes undercover to confront Selina Kyle for its whereabouts. Little do they know, it's halfway across the country, on board the same train as a young aerialist named Alan Scott. I enjoyed the original Gotham by Gaslight and its sequel, so I'm pretty confident that this current miniseries will be just as good. Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick from DC Comics is on page 22 with Action Comics number 1068. Written by Gail Simone and Rainbow Rowell. Art by Eddie Barrows, Danny Mickey, and Cian Torme. The main cover is by Eddie Barrows and Danny Mickey, which is the one I'll be getting. Variant covers are created by Wes Craig and Terry Dodson. A 1 in 25 variant cover by Salvador LaRocca, and a swimsuit variant cover by Frank Cho. The cover price for the regular edition is $4.99 for 40 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $5.99, and this issue is scheduled to be on sale August 14th. Things go cosmically wrong as Superman finds himself the champion in a galactic battle between two alien empires. The entire Earth is held hostage as Superman fights to save continents From Utter Destruction. Loads of guest stars, but as you haven't seen them in a very long time. All this and lots more in Part 2 of Superman and the Challenge from the Stars. Plus, Lois Lane editor-in-chief, Sidelines reporter Clark Kent. Will their marriage survive tough love? I have to admit, I don't mind the $4.99 price tag for a 40-page comic book, especially when the backup stories are as good as they've been. Plus, we have Gail Simone co-writing this issue, so what is there not to like? Billy Hogan again. My next pick is also on page 22 with Batman Superman World's Finest number 30, written by Mark Waid, art by Gleb Melnikov. The main cover is by Dan Mora, which is the one I'll be getting. And there are also variant covers by Puppeteer Lee and Lucio Parillo. There's also a 1-in-25 variant cover by Daniel Bayliss. Batman's 85th anniversary variant cover by Jorge Jimenez. The cover price of the main edition is $3.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $4.99. This issue is scheduled to go on sale on August 21st. Get ready to see the Trinity. Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman take part in their first adventure as a trio. Whenever you have a comic book issue with Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman teaming up, who needs a long solicitation? Just mention their three names, and that's all you need. And that's the reason I'll be getting this issue. Plus, Mark Waid is doing a great job in creating a fun series.
Welcome to the end of summer. This is Chris Brawley. I go by Brawlinator in the forums. And my first pick for this month's previews is in the DC catalog on page 33. DC Comics is reissuing the iconic Superman vs. Muhammad Ali, a landmark oversized comic book originally published back in 1978. Now, this classic 72-page issue features Superman and heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali teaming up to thwart an alien invasion of all things, culminating in a boxing match where Superman fights without his superpowers Muhammad Ali. Based on an original story by Denny O'Neil and adapted with stunning artwork from Neil Adams, this comic also showcases the talents of Dick Giordano and Terry Austin on inks. This new facsimile edition reissue promises to bring back the nostalgic magic of the original. You may be interested in knowing that an original non-graded copy of the very first edition of this, in good shape, recently sold for around $240 on eBay, but now you can get it for the low, low price of whatever your comic book shop's willing to sell it to you for. Superman vs. Muhammad Ali was part of the all-new Collector's Edition series. It's seen a few other reprints since its debut, both in Treasury-sized edition, deluxe edition with additional content, a smaller hardcover edition, and a full tabloid-sized hardcover around 10 by 14 inches. Now, this is the first time it's been printed as a facsimile edition. And there's also a foil variant for those who might be interested. You should check it out, though. It's on DC Connect on page 33, Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad, the black Superman, who calls to the other guy, Ali. Catch me if you can.
This is Nick with a pick from the DC Connect catalog. This is the facsimile edition of the big Superman vs. Muhammad Ali issue from back in the days. Officially, that means it's a facsimile edition of All New Collector's Edition number 56. But we all know the classic cover there, Superman and Muhammad Ali exchanging blows with the planets in the background and all the famous faces wrapped around it. I think it's pretty much out of reach for most casual collectors to get any of the original copies of this. DC has done, feel like, a hardcover deluxe edition maybe of this in the past, but they have done a couple of facsimile editions of these big oversized Treasury Edition-sized comics, and that's what this is going to be, the full-size tabloid facsimile edition. And I'll read you the solicitation here just for your reference in case you've never actually read this one before. It's written by Dennis O'Neill with art by Neil Adams and Dick Giordano. The cover, classic, by Neil Adams. If you want to upgrade to a foil variant of this, they do have that for a couple of extra dollars, but this is going to set you back $14.99 for 72 pages. And it says, the greatest heavyweight prize fight in the history of comics, is returning in a full-size tabloid facsimile edition. With a space armada threatening to destroy the Earth if it loses a contest against the evil Ratlar's chosen fighter, Superman and Muhammad Ali must first box each other to determine humanity's champion for that intergalactic bout. Includes the iconic wraparound cover by Neil Adams with the who's who of famous people and comic book creators in attendance at the fight of the century. This is Nick with a pick from the DC Connect catalog. This is in their collected editions section. It's Batman the Cult, the deluxe edition, 216 pages, oversized, hardcover, $39.99, on sale October 1st, 2024. And this was written by Jim Starlin with art by Bernie Wrightson. And I think the colorist was Jim Ray on that. So if you've never read this, definitely go back and even just find a couple images of it. The artwork is fantastic. It's definitely very 1988 comic book artwork. Kind of piggybacking off of the ideas that had been laid out in the Dark Knight Returns of Batman taking on this brutal conquest through the streets sometimes to maintain the sanctity of Gotham City. This pits him against armies of homeless people and the brainwashed. He gets kicked out of the city and has to make his way back. And this all sounds very, very familiar if you kind of picture The Dark Knight Rises, Batman versus Bane and his army of misfit people who were trying to take over the city. That's because this mostly forgotten story was actually one of the main drivers and inspirations for Christopher Nolan in making the third part of his trilogy. So we have this idea of Batman being broken and making his comeback after he trains up and restores some order to the streets. Now, it was definitely a darker story, and that's why it was put in this prestige miniseries format back in the day, but definitely worth reading, and I think a lot of the elements will definitely be familiar to you if you've read later stories about Batman and his quest for revenge at times. But the one bonus factor, if I had to sell anybody on this, if you haven't been convinced already by the idea of the story or the preview art, if you have seen any of it, is when Batman makes his return to the city, there is a monster truck involved. So maybe that's the last little bit you need to get you over the hill, but I think the talent involved with this and the concept should definitely sell pretty much anybody as long as you're a fan of Batman. And if you don't want to pick up this, like I said, definitely go find the back issues or read this on the DC Infinite app. And I actually realized as I finished this recording, I didn't mention, because I didn't read the solicitation, but Batman himself actually gets brainwashed into this cult at one point. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My final DC pick is on page 44 with Police Comics No. 1 Facsimile Edition. Written by Jack Cole, S.M. Iger, George Brenner, Gil Fox, Clark Williams, Vern Hinkle, Al Bryant, Fred Gardiner, Arthur Petty, and Paul Gustafson. Art by Jack Cole, Reed Crandall, George Brenner, Gil Fox, Clark Williams, Vern Hinkle, Al Bryant, Fred Gardiner, and Paul Gustafson. Cover by Gil Fox. The cover price for this issue is $6.99 for 64 pages and is scheduled to go on sale August 7th. Prepare your eyes for the frame-bursting, mind-stretching introduction of Plastic Man from the limitless imagination of Jack Cole. This full facsimile reprinting of the Golden Age classic also features the first appearance of Phantom Lady and more. I love getting as many of these facsimile editions from Marvel and DC as I can afford, and I couldn't pass up this one. Plastic Man was the original stretching superhero to be followed in the Silver Age by Reed Richards of the Fantastic Four, and Ralph Dibny, the Elongated Man, for DC Comics. This issue was originally published by Quality Comics, and as DC Comics did with many other comic book companies that went out of business, they bought their intellectual properties, including Plastic Man, and so that's how Plastic Man became part of the DC pantheon of heroes. So I'm looking forward to seeing his first appearance. I think he has one of the most unusual origin stories in that originally the person who became Plastic Man started out as a criminal. And I'll just leave it at that.
This is Nick with that pick from the DC Connect catalog. And Billy Hogan has already called on this one out, so I just wanted to echo and give a second to his recommendation on page 44 there, giving us Police Comics number 1, the facsimile edition. And this is, of course, the introduction of Plastic Man. So if you're a fan of the stretchy comical variety of superhero, check this one out. $6.99 for 64 pages.
Hey, this is James back with my second pick in DC in their Connect, and it's on page 45, where we have Aquaman by Peter David Omnibus, written by none other than Peter David, pencils by Jim Calafiore, I'm butchering these names, Martin England, Phil Jimenez, and others. Inks, I'm not going to go into that. Oh, well, Peter Palmiotti did the inks. Interesting. And then $150 for 1,584 pages of content. I will be getting it for probably 50% off, so $75 over at Deep Discount Comics, Eric. And why am I getting the Aquaman Omnibus? It's not just because it's an omnibus. It's because I was reading Peter David when he was writing the Hulk. I have, I think, the entire run in singles. I read it all off the rack in singles. And when he stopped writing at Marvel, he left the Hulk. And he went over to write Aquaman at DC. At that time, I had read the two big events, Death in the Family and the Superman dying thing, and I was not a fan of DC. I would still say I'm not really a fan of DC. There are properties that I do enjoy, but I can't say I'm a DC fan. I grew up a Marvel fan. But I started reading Aquaman because of Peter David. And I'll tell you what, I actually did enjoy it. I read several issues of him writing that. I enjoyed it. That was the only book I was getting from DC was Aquaman. And then I think I went into the army. I can't remember why, but or I quit buying comics for some reason. I don't remember what happened in my life at that point, but I quit buying it. So I'm definitely, I don't know if it'll be as good as what I remember, but I'm going to pick it up and read it and on to my next pick.
This is Jason with a pick from the DC Connect catalog on page 46. Legion of Superheroes, The Great Darkness Saga. It's on sale September 24th, and it's $14.95, which is really not a bad price for this great story. So I don't want to say that this story was what made me a Legion fan, because I had already read several issues before this came out, but it certainly solidified me as the Legion being my favorite team and that particular run, my favorite series of all time. I think one of the drawbacks that when people, whether it's X-Men or Legion of Superheroes, when they realize how many characters are involved on the team, it kind of, it can throw people off. So, but what I like about this is that it introduces characters here and there and very slowly and within the flow of the story. So even if you've never read a Legion of Superheroes story, if you can look at the cover, you'll see who the villain is, but it's a great story of a team pulling together, and it does have Superboy, which is Superman as a boy before the crisis, in Supergirl, before she was completely eliminated during the crisis, as main characters as well as the Legion characters. So, like I said, this is one of my favorite stories of all time. I definitely enjoyed Paul Levitz, and Keith Giffen's art during the stretch was impeccable. I just love this, and I would recommend this to anybody who's like, what's the Legion all about, and why do I need to read it, and what would be a good story I could jump in on? So definitely recommend the Legion of Superheroes, The Great Darkness Saga.
Hey, this is James back with a pick in the previous catalog. I'm on page 167 in the image section, and so I'm not using the PDF, I'm just using the catalog, so I'm not getting interior art and things like that. So I'm looking at the Power Fantasy It's literally called The Power of Fantasy. It's written by Kieran Gillen. Kieran Gillen, I'm a fan of his. He's a decent writer. And the art is Casper Weingard. And it's a series premiere. Superpowered in quotes. You have certain preconceptions. They're incorrect. Here, the world has a specific technical definition. Namely, any individual with the destructive capacity of the nuclear arsenal of the USA. So to be a superhero, you have to be able to destroy the world. Because our nuclear arsenal can destroy humanity. There are six such people on Earth. So six of these larger than the nuclear arsenal of the USA people as far as power set goes. The planet's survival relies on them never coming into conflict. If they do, I'm assuming we are all dead. And it says, come dance to the ticking and doomsday clock with Kieran Gillen, The Wicked and Divine, and Die, and Casper Weingard from Homesick, Pilots, All Against All. The eternal fight against fighting starts now. So this has piqued my interest. It's 40 pages. It's $3.99. It's piqued my interest because, one, they're taking a different look at superheroes, and it's taking such a different approach in that not utilizing them, but literally keeping them apart. Can Kieran Gillen keep my interest piqued? Because this could be written really differently than anything I'm reading now, where it keeps me totally engaged, or it could bore me to death. And it is a gem of the month, so I'm hoping and leaning on the side that he's going to wow me with something completely original, something completely new. So I'm going to give it a try, and like I said, that's on page 167. On to my next pick.
Brawlinator again. Now I'm on page 167. In the image section, I'm looking at Standstill. It's a new 8-issue miniseries that promises to be a thrilling, revenge-soaked journey. Where have you heard that premise before? Now, this is by renowned artist Andrew Robinson, teaming up with writer Lee Lowridge, known for his work as a colorist on Deadly Class and The Good Asian. This is another one that, you know, I dug around. Usually what will happen is before I decide that I'm interested in a book, if I don't know a whole lot about it, I'll get online, surf the web, and try and find out a little bit about it. Man, the artwork in this thing looks fantastic, but I keep reading something that I'm not sure what it means exactly. It sounds good, but it can't be right. I'll get to it later on in the solicit. Standstill introduces us to Riker Ruel, a deranged and dangerous sociopath who has acquired a top secret device capable of freezing time. Which I guess that's the name Standstill. With this power, he embarks on a relentless spree of chaos, leaving a trail of dead world leaders and stolen masterpieces in his wake. And the only person who can possibly stop him is the device's creator, a seemingly ordinary science geek who must step up to thwart his vengeful rampage. Now, this is Robinson's most extensive sequential work in over a decade. And this is the part that's got me confused. It says, showcasing 60 double-page spreads of stunning artwork in its extra-length first issue. Are you telling me that these double-page spreads, surely there's panels in there, that can't be just splash. I'm assuming this is all the way left to right reading double-page spreads, but what I saw, man, looks fantastic. This book has been nearly 9 years in the making, hinting at a career-defining piece for Robinson. And Robinson's praising the writing, so it's rebellious punk rock energy combined with sardonic wit and epic action. Standstill number one. I barely saw this in the catalog. It might be a gem of the month or something. It's definitely worth checking out. Standstill number one, page 167.
My next pick is also Standstill number 1 of 8. It is on page 18 of the Image catalog. This whole time-stopping thing reminds me of The Girl, The Gold Watch, and Everything, which was, a TV movie back in the 80s or whatever. Anyways, looks like a lot of fun. I do think the 60 double-page spreads, and they're spreads, not splashes, honestly seems like a little bit of a gimmick, and the page or two we see on pages 20 through 24 27 actually, of Image catalog. If these are indeed double page spreads, it honestly looks like the story is going to be a little kind of decompressed and not taken as the best use of the real estate available to it. So it may be 60 some odd pages. I'm not sure it's going to feel like it with the story, so I'm a little worried about that. But it seems like an intriguing story. 8 issues, so presumably they've got a beginning, middle, and end. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully I'll like it. If not, I'll cut the cord on it midway through, but I'm optimistic. So once again, that's Stand Still number 1 of 8 on page 18 of the Image catalog.
Hasbro has big plans this year for the 40th anniversary of Transformers, which includes re-releases of TV series, cinema screenings, and the release of several collectibles for fans, toys, other merchandise. I even saw where One Cinema is bringing back the TV original first season, the TV series. They're going to play it at the cinema for a big marathon. Now Image Comics is celebrating the 40th anniversary with a new printing of the 1984 Marvel comic book that started it all, with two covers, including the classic Bill Sienkiewicz cover and one that they didn't show off, but the Autobots and the Decepticons in this story brought their conflict to Earth and the world was never the same again. This issue is being printed on newsprint, oh my goodness, and will feature an all-new variant cover celebrating the history of the Transformers. You should check this out. If you're a Transformers fan and you don't have this first issue, you should probably get this one. Just to have it in newsprint alone is worth picking up. It's also from Image. You know, they've been doing they've got the Transformers license over there with Skybound, so you can find it yourself on page 168 in the Image section. Check this out, and happy birthday to the Transformers. 40 years. My gosh, where does the time go? For the Beast Guy, the Transformers.
Jason, the next pick on the previous catalog, page 168, it's Transformers number 1, 40th Anniversary Edition One Shot. So this is celebrating the 40th anniversary of Transformers, and so they're printing the first issue. So this was originally printed by Marvel, and the series ran 80 issues. But the funny part about it for me was that it said number 1 in a 4-issue limited series. Well, the issues just kept coming, and it was a very popular series, lasted 80 issues. But I think they just kept, for several issues up at the top, it would just say number blank in a 4-issue limited series. And so clearly it lasted more than 4, and I'm glad they continued adapting the original Generation 1, as they call it, Transformers. One of my favorite versions. So, highly recommend this if you're a classic Transformers fan.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Image section of the previous catalog on page 170, where we have Junkyard Joe Deluxe Hardcover, written by Jeff Johns and art by Gary Frank and Various. Just so you know, the Geiger hardcover, I picked that up. That was in the last month's solicit. I'm going to be picking up the Junkyard Joe. I enjoy this stuff in this world that Jeff Johns is writing so much that I will probably pick all of it up in hardcover. It's that good. Junkyard Joe is a character who kind of popped up as a cybernetic, a robot, helping out the GIs or the soldiers in the Vietnam War before those types of things were supposed to exist. And there was a creator of a comic book who was drawing Junkyard Joe comics. People thought he was crazy because they're like, robots didn't exist. This guy's nuts. And lo and behold, Junkyard Joe was real. And that's what this comic's about, and his reappearance. And so it is just a fantastic tale. I think it's great. And I love this property. If you haven't read it, this is your chance to pick it all up in one hardcover. It is 208 pages for $34.99.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick in this month's previews comes in the Image Comics section on page 173 with Geiger number 5, written by Jeff Johns, with story art by Gary Frank, who also does the main cover along with Brad Anderson. Cover B is created by Gabriel Rodriguez and Brad Anderson. This is it. The first 4 issues of this new series have all pointed toward the final battle between Geiger and the Electrician, but it might be a quick one. The Electrician's clever trap hits Geiger's greatest weakness, and his friends are helpless to halt it. Also, the final fate of Barney, the two-headed mutant wolf. Scheduled to be in shops on August 14th for the cover price of $3.99. I hope Barney survives the end of the issue. He's my favorite two-headed pet. But seriously, Geiger has been a great series, and I'll continue reading it as long as Jeff Johns and Gary Frank continue to put out issues. Thanks again, John, for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. And I want to thank everyone for including their clips, and I look forward to listening to what everyone else is going to be reading from this month's previews.
Hello, it's been quite a while since I've recorded a preview spotlight for the comic book page, but I thought I'd return. This is Mike Myers from Geek Brunch and DC Noise Podcast. We're migrating all our shows, though, over to DC Noise Podcast to save money. So if you're looking for a subscription on iTunes or Spotify, go to DCNoisePodcast.com. But now that I announced that, I thought I'd go over a pick from the Image catalog. Pretty much getting quite a bit. I'm encroaching on 100,000 comic books in my collection using my comic book database. I do have one closet of uninventoried, so I could be closer than I think I am. I'm at 98,000 right now, but I think by the end of the year or early next year, I will be very close to hitting the 100,000 marker in my collection. But the Image books, I've been really, really happy with, whether it's the Spawn universe or the Geiger universe, or whatever you want to call that, the Jeff Johns Ghost Machine universe, or the Energon universe. I am really excited about that. Whether it's G.I. Joe, Duke, Cobra Commander, or Transformers, or Void Rivals. I am a little bit behind on Void Rivals, but I'm all caught up on the others. But the one I'm the most excited about, and I never thought I would say it, is Transformers. I've never been a huge Transformer fan. I've been more of a G.I. Joe fan, and knowing all the characters and being able to follow Larry Hama and stuff. I know all the major Transformers, but now I'm starting to learn a lot about the minor Transformers. And I'm pretty much all caught up on Transformers. And this is on page 112 of the Image catalog, which is not on the previews catalog. I usually just read the previews catalog because I don't like the digital previews, but it sounds like you want to use the Image catalog for this episode, so I'm going to go to the Image catalog on Lunar Distribution, and this is for Transformers number 11. Only Optimus Prime can save Earth and Cybertron, but with the Autobots down with him. So Daniel Warren Johnson's been writing this, and he was drawing the book initially. But I must say that I have been enjoying Jorge Corona's interpretation of the book on the interiors, on the art, much more than I did Daniel Warren Johnson. I never thought I'd say that. But man, when I saw Devastator convert to the Constructicons and the battle between Starscream and some of the other Transformers, I've just been blown away. I've really enjoyed this series. I like how it started in Void Rivals, and then how it's so integrated with all the Joe books, the Energon, and related to Cobra Commander, and Duke's book kicking off with a Transformer knocking his buddy out of the sky. And now we're in this Transformers, and the supporting cast has been really incredible. Really enjoying it. You had the death of a Transformer that you wouldn't think you would have. We almost lost Optimus Prime. Yeah, before this, I was just, you know, I knew Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Megatron. I watched the films. I dipped my toe in some of the IDW stuff. I have the original Marvel series, but just the 4-issue miniseries that went on to be an ongoing. And then I was like, well, I don't really care for these robots. I never watched the cartoon, just like I didn't watch G.I. Joe, but I fell in love with G.I. Joe during the IDW series. And then went back, and now I have almost a complete collection of the Marvel series. I do have a complete collection if you think about the collected editions, because I do have the hardcovers that they put out. And I've went back and bought most of the back issues. I'm still missing some of the expensive ones, like the last issue and the penultimate issue. They're pretty expensive to get last issues and penultimate issues. Keep an eye out for penultimate and last issues, because the trend is they usually are pretty high. because of low print runs. But yeah, I fell in love with G.I. Joe, and I didn't think it would happen with Transformers. And here we are. I talked to one of my buddies just today. We were talking about retro comics, and at the end, we just had to talk about current comics because I was so excited about Transformers. And he's into it too. Like he's into it as well as I am, into this shared universe that Kirkman has put on there. And we've seen the shared universe sort of before in Hasbro and IDW with Rom the Space Knight and Transformers and G.I. Joe. And we even had the crossover that Tom Scioli did, who I absolutely adore Tom Scioli. A lot of G.I. Joe fans and Transformer fans were not too happy with his style. But I grew up loving his stuff, Scioli, and I got my first commissions from him at Heroes Con. And I think I have accumulated at least 15 or 20 commissions before his price range. Just I kind of stopped doing commissions because things went from $40 a commission to $60 to commission to $100 to commission to $150 to $300, just like that. And now it's just I'd rather buy back issues and more comics than I would commissions. But yeah, Transformers, number 11. I think if you start this or you read it in trade, or I think you're going to be fascinated with how high-paced it is, how much action and suspense and drama and soap opera-ish. You always want that soap opera going on in a comic book to keep you coming from month to month. And I'm usually not caught up in stuff because I'm a mood reader, but with this G.I. Joe universe, I have been fairly caught up. Yes, I let three stack up, and that, I think that's why I like comics so much, is I remember more because I read more in a chunk. You know, instead of 20 pages, I read 60 pages. So it helps me retain it a little more and enjoy it a little more. And I read some close to trade, and I let six stack up and read them like that. But I think that's why I enjoy comics so much. And I've always done that. So it's not like I just decided to read like trade. I read like that before trades even existed in high school. So I've always read like that. Just let a few stack up. Before high school, I couldn't afford any comics. I used to go to the garbage dump with my dad, and he would get me coverless comics that the drugstore would throw away. And that's how I got into comics to begin with. But in high school, when I started working, I had extra cash and mowed lawns before that. But yeah, I really like to let comics accumulate and then read them. So Transformers number 11, long-winded, glad to be back when I can. I do listen to Preview Spotlight still and the monthly comic spotlight, and keep doing good work, and I will keep listening. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you, John, for keeping the Preview Spotlight alive and well. So we'll see you soon. Bye.
What's up, guys? This is X-Men Patrick. I'm way back in the book now because IDW is not a premier publisher anymore. So I am on page 240. I'm looking at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 2. Jason Aaron, writer. Joelle Jones, the artist. I can't wait to read number 1 and 2. And like Jason Aaron and Joelle Jones, like Jason Aaron's a great writer. Joelle Jones is a great artist. I can't wait. So this one is about Michelangelo. The first one I'm pretty sure was about Raphael breaking out of prison. This second one will be Michelangelo. He's living in Tokyo, where he's become a big TV star. It's a pretty cool life, full of fame and fortune. But if he's being honest, Mikey misses his brothers and the sense of purpose they had together. Well, in the classic case of be careful what you wish for, the old life looks like it's coming to find him when ninjas show up at his apartment armed to the teeth. Continuing the all-new ongoing series from writer Jason Aaron, this time joined by Detective Comics and American vampire artist Raphael Albuquerque, this spotlight story on everyone's favorite jokester puts on the second piece of the puzzle together for the future of TMNT. 32 pages, $4.99, you know, the new price, $5 for a comic. And then, yeah, I'll call out Night Watcher in the next one. What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick. Yes, I'm still in IDW. Yes, I'm still talking about Ninja Turtles. We're still on page 240. We're looking at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Night Watcher number 1. Writer is Junie Ba. Artist and cover artist is Pharaoh Pei. After making a dark debut in the Free Comic Book Day special, fans have one burning question. Who is the Night Watcher? Violence and discrimination against mutants is running wild. A new vigilante will rise up to combat it. But who is this fierce and armored fighter standing bravely against the criminals who wish to harm mutants? From the brilliant mind of Junie Ba and astonishing artist Pharaoh Pei, has an action-packed ongoing series that spins out of the pages of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to delve into the grim reality of New York City after the mutant bomb and reveal the secrets behind the mask. It's getting hot in this car. 100 pages, $3.99. 100 pages for $3.99? 40th anniversary cover. There's a couple covers on there. I'm definitely in. I'm buying this one too. And I'm getting probably black, white, and green too. It's number 4. I'm saying I'm getting it also. I'm all about the Ninja Turtles. All right, on to the next pick.
Next up on page 18 of the IDW catalog is Star Trek number 500. IDW is celebrating 500 issues of Star Trek comics. They've done a plethora of things. It's a little vague what the story is. They mention a number of writers, and art is by Various. Various has had some good days and some bad days, so I'm really not sure what to make of this, but I am enjoying what they're doing overall in the Star Trek comics over at IDW, so I'm expecting to see stories based on these covers from across the different branches of the franchise and stuff. Bonus points if they pull a couple that were novel-specific, like New Frontiers and stuff. Don't know if that'll happen or not. Either way, it looks like it should be fun. It's 52 pages for $6.99. Honestly, I'd have given it a bigger page count, but that would have come a higher price. Anyways, I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. Once again, that's Star Trek 500 on page 18 of the IDW catalog.
Brawlinator again, and I have got a solicit in the IDW catalog. Now, hopefully I've numbered this file correctly. I'm on page 30. John's much smarter than I am, so I'm sure he'll figure it out. This is in the IDW section, and this is an artisan edition of Jack King Kirby's Eternals. Now, forget the Marvel Cinematic Universe film. That was not Kirby. This is Kirby, and it is a treasure trove of unseen material from the King of Comics, whose impact continues to resonate with comic book fans today. Now, this, again, is an artisan edition, so you've got side-by-side presentations of restored copies of Jack Kirby's pencils next to the finished inks, scanned from the original art. Several complete Eternal stories are here, but not the entire series, which was 18 issues and an annual. But if you like art, creative process books, or just a fan of Jack Kirby, I think this book might be a must-have for you. It is a slightly oversized 8x12 hardcover edition, 176 pages, $49.99. I'm sure there's a discount if you pre-order it from your favorite comics retailer. But these artisan editions, they collect stories, covers, pages that have been reproduced from the original art. And while you get inside, it looks like these are black and white. The images have been scanned in color, which will allow you to view these pieces, pages, the artwork as closely as possible to the original art. Ink gradients, blue pencil, corrections, whiteout, tape, it's all clearly visible. All the wonderful little subtle nuances that make original art so special and unique. And the only way to probably get a better look at this artwork would have been if you had been standing over the great artist's shoulder as they were drawn, which obviously none of us have been able to do, you know, or ever will. But listen, check this out. It's Jack Kirby Eternals Artisan Edition. I think it's suitably priced, and it's on page 30 of the IDW Previews catalog. Brawlinator again. I've got another solicit here in the IDW catalog. It's another art book. This time it is complete series, complete stories at least. It's an artist's edition volume, which collects Batman 404 through 407. That was Batman Year One, the groundbreaking reinterpretation of Batman's origin by comic book titans Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli. Hope I said that right, David. The entire groundbreaking story is included in a 14x21-inch hardcover. This is usually the size that most of these pages were drawn. Now, this came out originally, the series was back in 1986. Frank and David produced it was a groundbreaking for its time. And it was the reinterpretation of the Batman's origin, who he is, how he came to be. A little bit careless, a little bit naive, far from the flawless vigilante that he is today. It was fantastic, and surely everyone listening here has read it, but if you have not, stop what you're doing right now and go read it. This is fantastic. Batman Year One is an excellent companion piece to Batman The Dark Knight Returns, also by Frank Miller. Some of the greatest Batman graphic novels of all time. And now this includes the entire run, which was published as a graphic novel, all four issues, a new introduction by David Mazzucchelli, and all of his layouts are presented, giving real insight to his storytelling process. This is one of those art books with just rare, beautiful imagery. If you're a comic book fan, a connoisseur of the art form, Chip Kidd was the designer. He guides the look of this project. It's just going to be really a centerpiece book that you're just going to really want to just dive into and enjoy. Now, this is more expensive than the Artisan book I mentioned before. This is probably going to be around $150. I'm sure you can get a real good discount from Deep Discount Comics, Cowabunga Comics, or maybe if you can talk really sweetly to your local comic shop, if they'll pre-order it for you. But these books are worth it. You should check it out. This is on page 32 of the IDW section.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I'm at the farm. My daughter's trying to sell one of her horses, so I got some free time while she does her thing. So I'm on Marvel's Previews, page 4, 3, 2. Uncanny X-Men number 1. I am not a big fan of Gail Simone. Dave Marquez is a great artist, and there's a bunch of covers for this because it's number 1. But the reason why I'm really getting this book is, one, I love the X-Men too. Gambit and Rogue is my favorite couple of X-Men. Like, I'd rather read a Gambit comic or a Rogue comic than any other kind of X-Men comic. So, only reason why I'm picking up Uncanny X-Men. I'm picking up regular X-Men because Stegman's a great artist and Jeb McKay writes a good story. So, this one's about Uncanny X-Men number 1. It is Keeping the Dream Alive. Core group of essential X-Men rise from the ashes to face a world without a home, without Professor X. All bonds among the mutant community seem to be slipping away, and Rogue reluctantly finds herself as a hero designated to bring them back together. But a fearless, malignant power is out there hunting mutants, and it has a terrible secret that may destroy what remains of the X-Men. You can see cover A is probably the big page there. Adam Kubert's got a nice cover. Marquez has got a nice cover. They're all pretty good. I'll probably just get cover A. Like I said, not a big Gail Simone fan. Can't really surprise us with X-Men stories anymore. It's all been written, so I'm still going to pick it up and read it because it's got my favorite X-Men couple on it. All right, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James here with a pick in the Marvel previews, and the first thing that caught my eye was the first thing solicited on page number 2, where we are continuing the parade of new X books, and will I not keep them all? I know I won't keep reading them all, but I've been sampling most of them. I'm not going to be getting all of them, their number ones, because there were a few I was like, nah, that's not for me. But on page number 2 or 3, we have Uncanny X-Men number 1, written by Gail Simone, who I do enjoy her. Depending on the property she's writing, she does good. And David Marquez is the artist. And I was just looking at the covers. It's fine. It's decent. I flipped the page in the Marvel previews. The interior art looks good. I'm like, they have about 4 pages of interior art. Some roughs. Looked like it would work for me. And so I read the solicit. It says, a core group of essential X-Men rise from the ashes to face a world without a home. So the X-Men are once again without a home. I don't know. The mansion is gone. We saw that in a preview from Free Comic Book Day. You know, I think it was, who was it? I can't remember right now who was riding on her motorcycle past the mansion and people were chasing her, but it was derelict and empty. But this is a home and they're without Professor X. Professor X is gone. All bonds among the mutant community seem to be slipping away, and Rogue reluctantly finds herself as the hero designated to bring them back together. But a fearless, malignant power is out there hunting mutants, and it has a terrible secret that may destroy what remains of the X-Men. So if you are a fan of a Rogue, she is leading the Uncanny X-Men, and there's a whole bunch of characters on here. You have Wolverine, you have Kurt, you have Gambit. Anyways, so if you like these characters, you're going to want to pick up this book. If you like Gail Simone, you'll want to pick up this book. If you're going into the new X world, this is definitely probably a jumping on point. Number 1, I'm on board for it, and on to my next pick.
And the big thing that pops out, Uncanny X-Men Number one, Gail Simone and David Marquez. More X-Men keeping the dream alive. A core group of essential X-Men rise from the ashes to face a world without a home and without Professor X.
So is this a good jumping on point for those of us who have been around away from X-Men for a while? Maybe?
I would say we're out of Krakoa and this is a good place to just be with the X-Men. Yeah, this is
yeah, so hop on, check it out, see if you like X-Men. And
sketchy preview pages, that's good.
Those are pretty bad. Let's see, I was talking to Kyle offline a little bit about this because he said it's the Marvel previews.
Yes.
And I said, no, it's not the Marvel previews because it's at PRH now. It's Penguin Random House now. So he said, no, it's still the Marvel previews. So we looked and it kind of is. So it kind of is, it kind of isn't. It says it's Marvel free previews off to the side. So the word previews is still in there. But of course, Previews World is no longer a part of this. So do you still call it the Marvel Previews?
100%. This is the Marvel Previews and starting at page number one.
So what we're saying, check out Uncanny X-Men number one from Marvel, page one-ish of the Marvel quote-unquote Previews catalog. We are Comics for Fun and Profit with Kyle and Drew. Check us out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is James here with another pick in the Marvel previews, and I literally flipped the page to the next solicit, and on page number 8, we have Wolverine Revenge number 1 of 5. Okay, I was thinking a Wolverine miniseries, I could skip that. There was another Wolverine miniseries, I was like, eh, I don't need to get that, I did skip it, that was solicited, I believe, last month. But this one caught my eye because of the creative team. This is written by Jonathan Hickman, the artist is Greg Capullo. So you have a fantastic, fantastic artist. You flip over and look at the interior pages. This is gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. You have a fantastic writer when he's on his A game, Jonathan Hickman. There's few writers I'd rather read. Him and Jeff Johns are probably at the top of my list for writers. But Jonathan Hickman's right there. And so it says, I'll read you this list in real big red print. And I thought it was funny. It's called Wolverine Revenge because I'm like, I just finished reading Wolverine 50 at the time of this recording just a couple days ago. I'm like, I think he already got his revenge. All right, we'll go with this. So Hickman and Capullo join forces for Wolverine epic like no other. Greg Capullo makes his grand return to Marvel Comics storytelling, and he and Jonathan Hickman pit Wolverine against a cadre of foes who will turn his world upside down. He's been beaten, he's been bloodied, and Logan only has one thought on his mind, revenge. Don't miss this prestige miniseries set to become one of the defining tales in Wolverine's story legend. There is a red band edition. It says an even bloodier cut of Wolverine Revenge. But for a buck, I don't know. I don't need to see it any bloodier for a buck. I honestly have no idea. I'm just going to get the regular one and enjoy it for what it is. But I'm completely on board. The creative team alone sold me on this, and I am a fan of Wolverine 2. On to my next pick.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick. I'm still in the Marvel previews. We are looking at page 2627, Predator versus the Black Panther number 104. Benjamin Percy's the writer, awesome writer, and Chris Allen's the artist. Covers by Ken Lashley. So, Wakanda is prey. We saw the Marvel Universe most tenacious mutant go up against one of the greatest killing machines in history in Predator vs. Wolverine, and survive. Now that planet Earth lives on in Predator lore, planet full of the most exhilarating prey they could imagine. And the strongest weapons in the multiverse are in their sights. When a young Predator with something to prove comes to Wakanda Vibranium, the Black Panther faces an enemy whose resources rival those of his great nation. Who will prove stronger? Benjamin Percy teams up with Stormbreaker artist Chris Allen to pit King against King in Bloody New Series. 40 pages, $5.99. Now we're going to $6 every time. Read the Wolverine vs. Predator. It was amazing. I loved it. So Black Panther vs. Predator? Absolutely. Why not? Let's see what T'Challa's made of. On to the next pick.
Brawlinator again, and I'm in the Marvel Previews catalog where everybody else is right now. Take a look at this solicit on page 40. I'm looking at a character that I've always had a nostalgic adoration for. It's Werewolf by Night. He's back with a brand new solo ongoing series with the OG Werewolf, Jack Russell. You know, when I first read Werewolf by Night Marvel Comics, I didn't get the joke, Jack Russell Terrier, yaha, yuck, yuck. Anyhow, written by Jason Liu, illustrated by Sergio Davila, known for his work on Venom and Thor, this series promises to take Jack on a darker, more intense journey than ever before. Now, this is Werewolf by Night number one, Red Band. So it's, if you know anything about movie trailers, if it's a Red Band trailer, you're going to see some serious violence in it. Usually that's the case. And the solicit says, in this new chapter of the character's 50-year history, Jack struggles to maintain a simple life amidst the chaos following the Blood Hunt, which is the big Marvel event that I'm not following at all. With new enemies out for blood and old allies in jeopardy, Jack faces his toughest challenges alone. It's the original Werewolf by Night who must navigate a blood-soaked path, bringing a level of violence and intensity rarely seen in Marvel Comics. Now, I'm not necessarily one of those people that needs more violence in their Marvel Comics. However, I remember as I was reading Werewolf by Night all those years ago, and I've got the omnibus, there really wasn't the sort of violence that you would expect from a lycanthrope, a man who turns into a bloodthirsty human wolf. So here it is, finally, in Marvel Comics. We'll see. It's Werewolf by Night, Red Band, number one. It's over on page 40 in the Marvel Preview Supplemental. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My first Marvel pick is on page 66 with The Amazing Spider-Man, number 259, facsimile edition, written by Tom DeFalco, with story and cover art by Ron Frenz, continuing a facsimile celebration of the early days of Spider-Man's black costume, which he has now discovered is really an alien symbiote intending to bond with him forever. With a little help from the Fantastic Four, Peter Parker has been separated from the suit and is now back in the old red and blues as he hunts for the Hobgoblin. But it's out of costume where the real revelations await. Mary Jane Watson has known Peter's dual identity for years, and now it's time for her to share her own secrets with him. Meanwhile, Reed Richards continues to study the symbiote, which may be more intelligent than even he realizes. It's one of the all-time great Marvel comic books, boldly represented in its original form, ads and all. This issue is rated T for teen and is scheduled to be in shops on August 21st for the cover price of $4.99. At the time this issue came out, comic books weren't as prevalent as they used to be when I was a lot younger, so I drifted away from comics, so I never read the black costume era of Spider-Man. So I'm looking forward to reading this issue that picks up after he's returned to his original red and blue costume, which is my favorite anyway. Billy Hogan again. My second Marvel pick is on page 68 with Fantastic Four number 23, written by Ryan North with art by Carlos E. Gomez. And the main cover is by Alex Ross, which is the one I always get. Cover B is by Alexander Lozano, and cover C is by Benjamin Sue, and it's a Disco Dazzler variant. The world is recovering from Blood Hunt, and Johnny and Sue take Joe and Nikki to NYC for a bit of a break. But when a cosmic incident from outer space threatens 40% of the planet, the whole team is forced to meet in New York and get to the bottom of what's really going on. The Fantastic Four will need teamwork, cleverness, and an old vehicle dug out of storage to save the world, plus some super science. And that's before the aliens show up. Johnny Storm gets in over his head in this Johnny-narrated issue, rated T+, and is scheduled to be in shops on August 7th for the cover price of $3.99. I'm enjoying this current Fantastic Four series. They're my favorite Marvel group of characters, so I always enjoy their adventures. Billy Hogan again. My final Marvel pick is on the very next page, number 69, with Fantastic Four number 24, written by Ryan North with art by Carlos E. Gomez. Cover A is by Alex Ross, and I'll be getting this one as usual. Cover B is by Tom Riley. Earth is being invaded by subatomic particles from the other side of the universe. But what terrible secret do they hold inside? As Mr. Fantastic discovers the horrifying truth, he finds out something worse. There are some things in the universe that even he and his family's powers can't stop. And when everyone in the Baxter Building is close to being overwhelmed, a voyage to the end of time and space may well be Mr. Fantastic's only option. Voyage from the subatomic to the intergalactic in this Reed-narrated issue. Rated T+, and is scheduled to be in shops on August 21st for the cover price of $3.99. This appears to be just as interesting a story as for issue 23, and what Reed Richards story doesn't involve him going to fantastic realms? If Reed Richards starts out the day in a subatomic universe and then winds up at the end of time and space, then that means it must be Tuesday.
This is Jason with my pick from the Marvel Previews catalog on page 73. It's Phases of the Moon Knight, issue 1 of 4. So it's a 4-issue miniseries by Benjamin Percy, and it looks like other writers as well. It says, "Illuminating lost lunar lore. Though he is among the most recent, Mark Spector is far from the first Fist of Khonshu. The true history and depth of the legacy of the Moon Knight has been shrouded in the mystery of antiquity until now. Featuring an awesome assembly of creators from across the industry, Phases of the Moon Knight begins with the story of the Moon Knight as you know, as he enacts his unique and violent vision of justice. Plus, an all-new Moon Knight from the Marvel Universe's ancient past, the Moon Knight of the Old Crusades, forged in the crucible of a holy war, what long-forgotten secrets of the Marvel Universe are waiting to be discovered in this saga." So the interesting thing is, it's at the bottom it says 40 pages, one shot, $4.99, but at the top it says it's a 4-issue miniseries, so I'm assuming it's a miniseries and that bottom part's a misprint, but I've always enjoyed Moon Knight character, and I have definitely thought about, you know, medieval Moon Knight, or what if Moon Knight was in the Dungeons & Dragons universe and dealing with werewolves and vampires and things like that. And so I actually wrote a little short story where he was dealing with Lord Ravenloft. So just because I was so inspired at that time period, and I thought that just like Batman can seem to work in any era, I think character of Moon Knight, if modified properly, could basically do the same, could work in any time period because the character is so interesting and unique, and you could scale up or scale down his powers as needed. So very interesting. So I'm looking forward to this. I definitely recommend checking this out if you are a Moon Knight fan.
Hey, this is James back with the final pick in the Marvel's previews, and I'm on page 95. I did want to tell you the last ROM omnibus, or Micronauts, I think it's the last one. I could be wrong. I don't know, but I think it's the last Micronauts omnibus is being solicited. But the one that I'm doing the recording on is on page 95. It is Secret Wars by Jonathan Hickman omnibus. It is written by Jonathan Hickman, penciled by Stefano Caselli, Mike Diodato Jr., Mike Mayhew, Kev Walker, Valerio Skitty. I'll say it, go with that. I almost said the other one. I don't know how it's pronounced. Simon Kudransky, Dalibor Talajic, and Paul Renaud, Isad Ribic, and more. So everyone penciled this. I will tell you, this is fantastic material. This was the culmination of Jonathan Hickman, the first time he was writing at Marvel, and he had the Avengers title, and he did a whole Avengers series, which was, it started off very slow and weird, and I remember it was kind of blowing my mind, the Alephs and the people, the creators of the builders. It was just very confusing. And then it built up to ultimately Secret Wars, which was just fantastic. I have fond memories of like the Thor core from Secret Wars. That was just a ton of fun. This one collects Avengers number 35 through 44, of New Avengers number 24 through 33, Secret Wars numbers 1 through 9, and material from Free Comic Book Day 2015, Secret Wars number 0. I am picking this up. I thought it was fantastic. It's 872 pages for $100, but you get about 50% off that price if you purchase it on the Slack channel from Eric over at Deep Discount Comics. So definitely hit Eric up if you're spending on these big ticket items, and help out a fellow comic book page Slack member and get a heck of a discount at the same time. On to my next pick.
This is Jason again in the Marvel Previews catalog, and sticking with the theme of Moon Knight, on page 119, it is Moon Knight Epic Collection, The Trial of Mark Spector, Volume 5. And so basically we have the first five volumes of all the Moon Knight content collected once this comes out in October of 2024. It says, crimes from his mercenary past return to haunt Moon Knight. This collects issues Mark Spector Moon Knight, 8 through 25, and material from Punisher Annual 2 from 1988. So it looks like you run into a few classic characters, Flag Smasher, Killer Shrike, and the Ringer, and then, of course, Bushman makes an old return as well. And this is definitely an issue where Moon Knight and Punisher, quote-unquote, team up. And he definitely gets with Ghost Rider as well. So this collects quite a bit of content, and so I'm just excited that they are continuing to put out all of the Moon Knight, you know, the Moon Knight stuff. So I'm hoping they will continue to do that, and I hope you pick it up if you're a classic 80s, 90s Marvel or Moon Knight fan. This is Jason with my last pick in the Marvel Previews catalog. It's called Venom, The Saga of Eddie Brock, trade paperback. This particular comic helps, I want to say, this helps define for me why I ended up liking Venom versus him just being another of the Rogues Gallery. It says, the story of how Eddie Brock bonded with the Venom symbiote. It is the living costume rejected by Peter Parker. He is the discredited reporter who blames Spider-Man for ruining his life. Together, they are Venom. Discover how Eddie Brock becomes Spider-Man's deadliest foe in the stories that made Venom a symbiotic superstar. He's bigger and stronger than the Web Wonder. He knows Spider-Man's secret identity, and he doesn't even trigger Peter's spidey sense. So can Spider-Man find a way to survive their first brutal encounter? And even if he does, will he be prepared for Eddie's revenge plot, exploiting Peter's greatest weakness, Aunt May? When Eddie stands trial, Matt Daredevil Murdock is his defense attorney, setting the stage for a blockbuster rematch with Spider-Man that defines Venom for his future as the Marvel Universe's lethal protector. This collects Amazing Spider-Man, issue 300, 315 through 317, 374, and it looks like some material from 375 as well, which was kind of like, I think it was an anniversary issue. And also Spider-Man, The Trial of Venom, number one. So I definitely recommend this if you are an Eddie Brock / Venom fan. Like I said, I know they've done lots of expanding of the symbiote universe, but for me, Eddie Brock is Venom. I guess I could say it like that. All the other characters, you know, they were able to kind of develop his character both before and after the symbiote attachment, so you could really understand the character's motivation. And he has certainly gone through an evolution and change of character as well, from just a true bad guy to anti-hero, and to when you're dealing with like what happened with the King in Black. I mean, basically almost a cosmic hero briefly. So I look forward to this, checking this out, and like to have it all in one volume. I have several of the individual issues, but not necessarily like the complete story like this. So I look forward to this. And if you're a fan of Eddie Brock or the original Venom and how he came about, I highly recommend it.
And next up is what I fear is indeed going to be a recurring pick for me over in the Marvel catalog. It's page 127 in the Marvel checklist. Now, this is saying, hey, here's what's coming out that first week, that second week, that third week, that fourth week this time of July. But hidden on it, because they've got, I guess, foil variants and have an increased lead time, are the solicits for Exceptional X-Men number 1 and Wolverine number 1. Now, I haven't decided if I'm going to get them. I don't like ordering these things blind. I'm not even sure what's going to be in Exceptional X-Men, because it's not in the catalog, which drives me nuts. But I wanted to be sure to mention it to everybody, because otherwise you're going to catch it next month and it's like, wait, it's already been ordered? So always check this checklist page out at the end of the Marvel previews. And just to clear up any confusion Drew and Kyle had, if you go to that interior last page where we've got the Indicia, it does indeed call this the Marvel previews, or Marvel previews. There is no the. It's number 33 of Marvel previews. So yes, despite them having gone away from Diamond, Diamond has not copyrighted or patented or done any kind of IP protection on the previews part of the catalog name. So it is indeed still the Marvel previews. It's just not really lined up with the Marvel order form every month, which, like I said, drives me nuts. So if you're interested in Exceptional X-Men or Wolverine, beware that you probably are going to have to order them this month based on what I'm seeing here.
Hey, this is James here with my first pick in the main previews catalog, and I'm on page 40 where I am looking at Berserker, The Lost Book of B, number one, written by Keanu Reeves and Matt Kent, illustrated by Ron Garney. And just to let you know, this series has been fantastic. Every time that they have a Berserker miniseries or one shot or some type of a book in this world, it fits. It works. It is fantastic material. Also available, just so you know, there's trade paperbacks 1, 2, 3, and Berserker Bloodlines trade paperback that are all being resolicited. So if you don't know what Berserker's about, pick these up. This is really, really good material. I think it's going to become a movie or a series on Netflix. I really don't remember. I just know it's been optioned for something. But it says, in the 13th century, the Berserker serves as the ultimate weapon of the legendary Genghis Khan. So we're going to the Mongolian Empire. That is freaking awesome. And it seems that no enemy of the greatest warlord can stand against such an onslaught of havoc and death. But the war grows larger than B could have ever imagined, and he must question where his loyalty should truly lie. Discover an epic new chapter in the immortal saga, revealing new untold secrets behind the wider Berserker universe. I can't recommend this enough. If you're a fan of Berserker, you have to pick this up. If you're not a fan of Berserker, you are missing out. You should pick up these trade paperbacks and pick this up. It's that good. On to my next pick.
Chris Brawley, the Brawlinator here. Get ready to rev your engines because Boom Studios is taking us on a wild new ride this August with Sir Number One. Now that's the letters Sir, the initials S-I-R. This is from the talented Fellhound, and it's being described in the press as Fight Club mashed up with 90s Sojo anime. Now, I have only two words you need to know. It's motorcycle jousting. Yes, it's a new comic where the battles at the heart of the story involve motorcycle combat. Now, SIR, S-I-R, stands for Seismic Iron Clash Roulette, and it follows two high school sweethearts who reconnect in the arena of motorcycle jousting. This series is supposed to be a blend of romance and action from the mind of creator Fellhound, a Chinese-Canadian cartoonist known for her award-winning debut comic, Commander Rao, which she's bringing a very distinct style to this project. You got to see the art. It looks fantastic. It's on page 42 of the proper catalog, previews catalog. It's got a real nostalgic anime twist. It looks magnificent. I'm always looking for new ideas in comics. Maybe I'm outgrowing some of the superhero stuff, or maybe I just don't like any of the way that they're being treated by the modern writers at Marvel and DC. So I'm always on the lookout for something that looks and sounds interesting. And I think if you'll take a look at the solicit and some of the art on page 42, you might agree with me. Sir, Number One on page 42 from Boom Studios. Check it out.
This is Jason with my first pick in the previews catalog. It's Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal Archive Edition, number 2 of 2. Now, the interesting thing about this is that last month it said it was issues 1 of 3. Now it's issues 2 of 2, which does make more sense because they basically did it in one of those special edition comics where they adapt it all in one big issue, like kind of like the DC Special Collector's Edition. But then they ended up reprinting it into a 2-issue miniseries, and it's essentially the same. You know, it's the exact same story. They just broke it up into regular comic book format. So this is part 2. So this finishes the movie adaptation of The Dark Crystal, 1983. And just a very fun movie, great comic book, lots of very interesting characters. Like I said, I saw this when I was a kid, and, you know, seeing the Skeksis and the Mystics, they, you know, they're all kind of, and then all the beetle monsters, you know, all of them have very unique and very memorable characterizations and designs. So I definitely, if you like fantasy and kind of like one character trying to save the world, I definitely recommend checking this out. My next pick in the previews catalog is Johnny Quest number 1 on page 91. This series looks like based on the interviews that they did like a couple of pages of interviews with Joe Casey, who's going to be the writer, like 2 pages. But it looks like it picks up right at the end of the 1964 series. And so to me, that's one of the best cartoon series of all time. I think it was about 20 something episodes. But for some reason, it never had continuation, never had a season 2. There were later adaptations in the 80s and 90s that were good, but still not quite to the same quality of that first 1964 series. So, but definitely it's a little bit of espionage, a little bit of kind of James Bond, but also a little Indiana Jones in there. Just some great, great characters and a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to this. My son and I recently got through, it's actually free on Tubi, the original Johnny Quest series. And we watched it, and every episode was very fun and definitely enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. My daughter enjoyed it too. And it was basically every time we would come home, like, can we watch the next episode, Dad? So, which is great because that's how I felt when I watched it. It's fast moving action. So if you do want to see that series, it's free on Tubi. But this comes out in August of 2024, and it looks like it's an ongoing series that picks up right at the end of the 1964 animated series. So highly recommend this if you're a Hanna-Barbera fan or any kind of classic 1960s cartoon fan.
And my next pick is on page 91 of the Diamond Previews. It is Johnny Quest #1 from Dynamite. I don't know that I've actually ever seen one of the Johnny Quest cartoons. I may have seen bits and pieces of them, but I did get hooked on the comics when, was it Kamiko that had it back in the day? It might have been. When one of the indie publishers had it back in like the 80s or 90s. It was fun. I enjoyed it and got to know the property that way. They did a free comic book day issue this year leading into or setting this up, or I don't know, maybe it's just reprinting the first couple of pages, whatever. Either way, it was good. It got me hooked. We got Joe Casey on the writing, and they're celebrating the 60th anniversary of the original animated series. So it's definitely before my time, but it looks like a lot of fun. And it says it's launching out of the issue 0 prelude story from the free comic book day stuff. So don't know if they're going to recap that or what. Either way, they had a good hook for the story. It looks like a lot of fun. And honestly, some of the stuff I'm most excited about these days are kind of these revival of classic properties. Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, Gatchaman, Thundercats, things like that. Which is honestly a sad commentary on current comics, because I've been reading Marvel and DC for ages. There ought to be stuff over there that gets me really excited. There's not much. So anyways, Johnny Quest #1 looks like a lot of fun. If I hadn't seen that free comic book day thing and picked it up, I probably would have passed on this, and gut feeling is that might have been a mistake for me. So I think it's worth checking out. If you haven't read the free comic book day and can find that, check it out. It, again, sold me on the concept here. They also had previews of, I think it was the Gatchaman stuff and Thundercats, maybe it was Space Ghost, whichever the other properties the Dynamite's reviving these days. Anyways, worth checking out. Once again, that's Johnny Quest #1 on page 91 of the previews catalog.
This is Nick with a pick from the Titan section in the main previews catalog. This is Huge Detective #1. And I say huge like that because they've got it called out at the top as something huge is coming. This is thankfully $3.99 and puts it in the normal sized comic category. It is 1 of 5, written by Adam Rose, art by Magenta King. I don't know anything about either of those guys, but the solicitation and a preview art are pretty interesting. It says here that after a race of giants emerged from deep sleep beneath the Earth, a bloody conflict ensued in what became known as the Omega Event. Eventually, a treaty is resolved and the state of Brobdingnag, is created, allowing humans and giants to coexist harmoniously. Yet tragedy threatens to shatter the peace, and an unlikely partnership is formed between detectives Tamaki and Giant. As the pair attempt to stop the criminal at large, they find themselves involved in a mystery bigger, also highlighted that, than either could imagine. Yeah, basically, you got two people, one of them being a giant, solving crimes. There are a couple of previews pages there in the main previews catalog. pages, what is that, 139 and 140. They give you an idea of what you're into, but I think you're going to be sold or not sold on the idea that it's a giant helping to solve crimes.
Jason, with my next pick on page 142 of the previews catalog, it's The Savage Sword of Conan, Volume 1. And this collects the first three issues of the new Savage Sword of Conan magazine. So the magazine stories themselves, I have enjoyed just about every story, especially the Solomon Kane stories. But the Conan stories too, it's, I guess you would call it like a graphic novel size. So it feels like a full-length story, like a, I guess you would say like a Robert E. Howard short story. So kind of a novelette kind of setting where you get lots of plot, lots of progression, and you get to see different eras of Conan, and just very, very well done. There were some issues, I think, with the art. Like I said, the Patch Zerker, Solomon Kane, looked like he did it specifically thinking and knowing that it was going to be a black and white series, whereas some of the other artists, at least so far, looks like they did it as if it would be color. And of course, with it being black and white, there was a lot of detail lost. And I don't know if it's paper quality or a combination of both, but very, very fun Conan story. So it's good to have Savage Sword of Conan back ongoing again. Speaking of Savage Sword of Conan, issue 4 is now being solicited. Savage Sword of Conan, number 4. On page 144 of the previews catalog. And this one looks like it's launching the Battle of the Black Stone, which was what was on the Conan the Barbarian Free Comic Book Day issue, like a little preview for that. So I'm actually looking forward to this. So I guess this is going to be kicking it off, and maybe it'll either continue in the Savage Sword of Conan, or maybe it'll bounce back and forth from Savage Sword to Conan the Barbarian comic series. Not sure exactly how they're going to do it, but it looks like a lot of classic characters from Robert E. Howard's universe. So you've got Conan, Brissa, who was a new creation from Jim Zub in the first story arc. So it'd be great to have her back. She was a great, you know, strong woman character. And Solomon Kane, Dark Agnes, and Conrad and Kirawan, and El Borak. So it looks like it'll be really fun. So I'm actually excited on them somehow pulling together all of these different characters. I know there was a Marvel series called The Serpent War, which had Solomon Kane, Dark Agnes, Conan, and Moon Knight. So I'm assuming it'll be similar to that. Not entirely sure, but I certainly look forward to that series and kicking it off. So hopefully it'll be very well done. This is Jason with my next pick in the previews catalog on page 185. It's Miskatonic Volume 1. By Aftershock Comics. This series came out a couple years ago, I believe, and this is the trade paperback of the 5-issue miniseries Miskatonic. One of the things about H.P. Lovecraft, and this is based on, you know, some of his writings, is that there weren't a lot of women characters there, and so this one is really good because the main character is a woman in the 1920s, so they're dealing with like Red Scare and things like that. There's been like these terrorist bombings that, you know, she's trying to get to the bottom of it, and she ends up dealing with a giant occult conspiracy, and she has a partner that's helping her, but it's definitely an intense ride. So it's definitely set in the H.P. Lovecraft universe, so you're looking at different types of monsters and things like that, but also kind of a noir feel as well to the series. So a limited technology back then, but you know, the main characters use their resourcefulness, and just a really, really fun series. So I have that 5-issue miniseries, and then they did a magazine size one shot as well, which is not reprinted here, unfortunately. But the 5-issue miniseries is a complete story. So I highly recommend that if you are an H.P. Lovecraft fan.
This is Nick with a pick from the Dark Horse section of the main previews catalog. It is Duck and Cover number 1. Now, looking at the creative team here, I think this might be possibly one of those Comixology originals, but I'm not really sure. It is, though, written by Scott Snyder with art by Raphael Albuquerque. It says, a manga-influenced teen adventure set in the strange post-apocalyptic America ... of 1955 from the team behind the seminal Vertigo series American Vampire. Now, it's 56 pages for $4.99. So I said, I think with this creative team and that pricing structure, that is one of their Comixology original deals. But if you haven't read it, like me, I have not, check this one out. It's going to be a good creative team, and I don't know what to make about post-apocalyptic 1955 teen drama, but it could be interesting. This is Nick with a pick from the Dark Horse section of the main previews catalog. I'm sure you can probably also find this elsewhere, though. I don't know exactly where Dark Horse things are these days. It is Masters of the Universe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles of Grayskull, number 1. So this is going to be, obviously, a mini-series, but they're not telling us how many issues right off the bat. Probably something like 5 or 6. But it is written by Tim Seeley with art by the indisposable and acknowledged king of the pop culture properties crossover comics, Freddie Williams II. I thought he was the third. The catalog here says the second, but I think he's the third. Anyway, he is the very stylized artist who did Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and all those issues with the various crossovers and things that have happened. Always does an excellent job making everything look really cool. And in this case, you have Masters of the Universe and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, two properties based around toys and cartoons out of the 80s. So I think he's definitely going to have a lot of cool things to do. And the main cover here, in fact, shows one of the turtles here with the Conan-type haircut. So it's I don't think they're promising anything too serious. It says, by the power of Grayskull, turtle power, when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles come across Krang and Shredder making a deal with some otherworldly demon mage named Skeletor, things get hella weird, and they ended up in Eternia. It turns out when you mix Ultram Mutagen with demon magic, you get a nasty purple poison, and it's brought Eternia to the brink of chaos. So Leo, Raph, Donnie, and Mikey are teaming up with the Masters of the Universe to kick some blue bony butt. The only problem is, He-Man is missing in action. Oh goodness, that's like he got sucked into the other side. This is going to be 32 pages, $3.99, and, as they say there, should be hella crazy. Check it out in... this has to be coming out in August, but we don't have a release date, so keep an eye out for it, pre-order it, and get ready.
Hey, this is James with a pick in the Dark Horse section of the previews catalog on page 234, where they have the complete Harrow County hardcover. I'm a big fan of Harrow County. It was a fun read. It came out in different miniseries. Actually, it was a full running series, and then they had some spin-off series is what happened. It's a horror story, but not that horrific for me. It was about a girl, and she can talk to monsters and things like that, and she's out on a farm, and she's fighting forces of not good, evil, but talking to the creatures that people are afraid of, who are actually good creatures, and helping to fight the evil creatures, is what I'll leave it as. This was written by Cullen Bunn, and the art was by Tyler Crook. It was something that I wouldn't normally gravitate towards, but I found it a little bit charming and also kind of engaging at the same time. So I think this is probably one of the better things that Cullen Bunn has written. And he did it all at Dark Horse. So he came out with this hardcover, and it's a big one. It's $150, but you'll get about half off if you get it from Eric over at Deep Discount Comics. It's 1,080 pages because it's collecting the whole 32-issue run. So if you never read Harrow County, here's your opportunity to pick it all up in one big chunk. It's good. They don't call it an omnibus. They just call it the complete hardcover. And I'm probably going to want this on my bookshelf. Even though I read it, it's something that I'll probably dip back into and read again when I pick this up. Just an aside, they also have Volume 4 of Den by Richard Corbin on the same page, and I am going to be picking that up too. But this clip was for Harrow County. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick. I'm in the back half of the previews catalog where I am on page 247. I'm looking at Ahoy Comics. I haven't purchased anything from Ahoy in a while. But Babs number 1 is written by Garth Ennis, and the artist is Jason Burroughs. We've seen that creative team before, and it's part of the sci-fi fantasy. It's been tagged by previous sci-fi fantasy month. And it's saying from legendary writer Garth Ennis from The Boys and Preacher, and superstar artist Jason Burroughs of Crossed and the Punisher, meet Babs, a barbarian thief with an itchy metal wardrobe, so she's kind of like a Red Sonja type, the world's worst enchanted sword named Barry. Together they travel a fantastic landscape of wizards, dragons, demons, castles, and a band of very large, very white knights. Babs wasn't looking for a fight, but she never found a bad situation she couldn't make 100 times worse, featuring variant covers. I don't care about that. $3.99, it's a 6-issue limited series. I'm a fan of Garth Ennis, I'm a fan of Jason Burroughs, and I'm a fan of Red Sonja, and this pitch reminds me of Barbaric from Vault. She has a named sword that's possessed, so there they have a talking axe. So I was like, yeah, I'll try this out. I'm in for 6 issues, on to my next pick.
Our Brawlinator again, and now I'm on page 268 in the American Mythology section, and it is Act 2 of the Hogzilla Saga, where the Florida battle is just getting started, the giant feral swine versus Florida man Gary Duba. Now, in this issue, Gary Duba's wife, Crystal, she's a former stripper, and she's eager to return to the world of lady wrestling, but she'll need to up her game if she hopes to defeat Cassowary, the wonder from down under. Meanwhile, Gary meets a huge talking catfish after licking a toad who persuades him to enter the annual Python Bowl. That's a real thing in Florida. You should Google it. Now, will he earn the prize money before his former neighborhood is destroyed by this one-ton Hogzilla? Things get even crazier in this issue. And actually, you still have time to get issue number 1 before FOC, which is July 8th. So if you didn't order Florida Man versus Hogzilla number 1, number 2 is being solicited now, and you can still get both of them if you order right away, pre-order right away through your local comic shop. Now listen, if you're not a fan of funny books or Florida Man, then don't check this out. But I would suggest you go to page 268 in the previous catalog just so you can see Crystal's Cheesecake Kill Bill homage cover. It's the cover B this month, and it's awesome. It's from Minori Rogue, who I think is going to be the next art germ. But check it out. That's Crystal, the ex-stripper turned lady wrestler. And she's not much of a lady, but you'll get it if you read it. It's on page 268 in the American Mythology section of Previews, Florida Man versus Hogzilla number 2.
We're bringing back funny books, y'all.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and I'm on page 382 and 383. I think the solicit's on 382, even though, anyways, I guess it's 382, where we have Defenders of the Earth number 1. Now, everyone who is part of our book club, we did a 8-issue series from Dynamite on Flash Gordon, and it was just a ton of fun. It was a light and airy, breezy read, and we all enjoyed it enough. We all enjoyed it enough to where we're all picking up the new Flash Gordon series, which was solicited last month with Mad Cave, and we're also, most of us are picking up the hardcover of the original strips going back to the 30s on Flash Gordon, because it was just a ton of fun. It was really enjoyable, and we wanted to read like the real origin of the character and everything. Now, this one is The Defenders of the Earth, and it is written by Dan DiDio. Yes, Dan DiDio, who used to be over at DC and now is not. And the artist is Jim Calafiore. I always butcher his name. And it says, Flash Gordon, the Phantom, Mandrake the Magician, and Lothar are united again in this reimagining of the classic animated series Defenders of the Earth. Picking up with characters and storylines from the original series, Flash confronts Ming in a final battle, only to find that even greater threats await him and his teammates as they each must confront ghosts of their past to protect their families and their future. And it's the first action-packed issue of an 8-issue limited series. I'm going to check it out just because I became a fan of Flash Gordon, and I am picking up the main Flash Gordon series, which is issue 2 was not solicited this month. So that made, I was like, I hope I don't miss it, but I will be picking that up, and I'm going to jump onto this too just because I really like Flash Gordon. And Dan DiDio, the last thing I read by him, I can't remember what it was, but I did like it. I thought he did a good job. So, on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with my final pick from the previews catalog, and I'm on page 396, and I am in the Magma Comics section. Magma Comics, they had, I remember John was picking up the Scale Trade from Magma Comics,
And Eric had sent out a free little sampling from Magma Comics in one of our ships. So I got it. And I'm not going to say all of the stuff's for me, but I'm like, some of the stuff looked interesting. And one of the things that I wanted to pick up was the Principles of Necromancy on page 396. The reason why I didn't pick it up in single issues, I probably could have reached out to Eric, but I didn't want to bug him, is when I picked up the previews, it was on issue 2 of it was a miniseries of let's say 4 issues. And I was like, I missed the first issue, so I'll wait for the trade. And here is the trade. So I'm picking up the trade. It's coming out August 28th. This is $19.99. You get a discount with Eric over at Deep Discount Comics. And it's 128 pages, collecting the entire miniseries. And it says, I'll read you the quote from Tom Taylor. But Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly are the writers. And Eamon Winkle is the artist. And I was like, who in the heck is this Eamon Winkle? I don't know that guy. But I will tell you, Eamon Winkle was what sold me on the book. Because when I got the sample, the previews of the stuff, this art is beautiful. It is really, really, really impressive. It's gorgeous, detailed. So I was like, okay, I got to get this just for the art. And the story sounds kind of interesting. This is a not John book because it's dark fantasy and twisted body horror combined to make a one punchy premiere. So horror and dark fantasy sounds like not for him. It says, while brave knights and dangerous monsters wage endless war, business is booming for Dr. Jacob Eyes, a traveling physician whose arcane remedies are the closest thing to magic the world knows. These gruesome miracles are only stepping stones for Dr. Eyes' ultimate ungodly goal to overcome death itself. And then it talks about the phenomenal writing team and the artist. Tom Taylor has a quote on here. Don't miss this violent, blood-soaked, dark magic fantasy coolness. And I will agree with him as far as when I saw the art, it was violent, it was blood-soaked, and it was beautiful. So I'm picking up for the art alone. I'm sorry that I missed the comics, but hey, I'll enjoy the trade. I don't mind reading a trade. I'll pick it up, and I'm going to take a swing for the fences. I am looking forward to listening to everyone's clips. I think we have a previous person who used to send in clips that sent in a new clip this month back on the train. I know we're going to be getting Dr. Mo back pretty soon after he's done with school. Hopefully he has the summer off. I think he does, but I'm not sure. And then I do appreciate everyone who sends in the clips. I appreciate the diversity of voices, and I appreciate everyone who are the stalwarts too, who go in there and do the clips every month, you know, whether it be Jason Z or Brawlinator or Chris or Marvin or just, I know, X-Men Patrick. I mean, I'm leaving out tons of people. Nick's picks, they go on and on. Superman fan when he does them. Like, all those guys, I really appreciate it when you guys send in clips. And if you haven't tried it yet, please try it. It's kind of fun. I know it's intimidating at first, but then it becomes kind of fun. Just send in one clip. Don't do a crazy thing like me and send in like 8. Send in one clip of something that you caught your eye. And once you do it one time, it's so easy doing it the second time. And by the third time, it just becomes second hat and you don't even think about it. So anyways, looking forward to everyone's clips. See you guys on the Slack channel. See you guys on the forums. See you guys at book club. And until the next recording I have with John, take care, guys. Bye.
This is Jason again with my next pick in the previews catalog. On page 404, it's Cruel Universe number 1, which is EC Comics Cruel Universe number 1. So this looks like last month they did Tales from the Epitaph, which looked like their version of Tales from the Crypt, Haunt of Fear, and Vault of Horror. And this one seems to be more of their weird science, weird fantasy type of series. So they're trying to, I guess, channel that spirit and creativity of the original EC Archives. I'm sorry, they've been collecting them in EC Archives. The original EC Comics line, which had a short but very bright run and unfortunately didn't last very long before the Comics Code Authority and all of that thing pretty much put them out of business except for Mad Magazine. Anyway, they're trying to start these back. So the first issues look like they're 40 pages. So this one's 40 pages and it is an anthology. So I know that's not everybody's thing, but I personally like anthologies as long as they're short, pretty clear and connected in theme, but like short self-contained stories that are wrapped up in each issue. So I'm going to give this a shot. I'm hoping that both with this one and with the Tales from the Epitaph, that it's kind of more that classic horror versus, you know, graphic horror, which seems to be a lot of these days in horror. So I'm going to give it a shot for both these comics for a few issues, see if it's something that I will stick with. But if it's anything in the vein of EC Comics, the classic EC Comics, I certainly will give it a shot. So if you enjoyed any of those, I definitely recommend giving it a chance. This is Jason again with my next pick on page 409. It's from Oni Press. It's Sesame Street, issue 1, and it's a 4-issue miniseries. So just going back to Johnny Quest, which I'm getting from my son, Sesame Street I'm going to get from my young daughter, and I'm always on the lookout for comics that are classic children type of comics that they would enjoy. So in other words, trying to get them to read. And I know my kids always liked Sesame Street. I loved it growing up. So I'm hoping that this will be a nice, fun 4-issue miniseries and that they'll do justice to the original characters from Sesame Street. So this one's called Grover Lends a Hand. So it looks like he might be the main character. It's all ages, and it looks like it's got Big Bird, Grover, Elmo, Cookie Monster, and then there's the Count as well in the back. So I look forward to this and reading this with my daughter, and I'm just glad that they're continuing to produce comics for young readers with the hopes that someday they will read comics when they're older.
Now, for my final pick in previews, this one is more for hardcore Nexus collectors. Nexus is the Bronze Age science fiction superhero created by Mike Baron and Steve Rude. Now, this was an experiment by Nexus co-creator Steve Rude, the Dude, as he's more frequently called. If you were nostalgic, I know Steve was, for those old newspaper comic strips, basically, this is like giant newspaper comics that you would get in the Sunday Funnies. This was beautiful. I know that this is all Steve. Steve did ask Mike Baron to come and rewrite it after it was already drawn, which was a nearly impossible task. I know Mike did what he could, but Steve had pretty much already done it solo, and you're not getting this for the reading. It is a sight to behold. Just beautiful stuff. And this covers, you know, a visit from a planet-devouring Gormando and his mysterious ally with powers far beyond those of even Nexus himself. This is for Nexus completists and Nexus fans, but it is absolutely gorgeous. A new Nexus adventure in a special collection also includes a newly remastered version of Nexus The Origin, which was the Eisner-winning story when it came to Dark Horse. Now, you may find this on the secondary market. Why bother when you can get it straight from the source? I know it's been solicited before, originally back in 2021. There's also some smaller versions of this on that same page. It's page 425 in previews, Nexus, the newspaper strips. Now, this I'm really wanting you to take a look at the soft cover. That's probably the most affordable version of it, but it's still oversized. And if you are a Nexus fan, there's still time to check out Mike Baron and Kelsey Shannon's new Nexus adventure, Nexus Scourge, which is currently available at barroncomics.com. We just completed a very successful crowdfunding campaign for that, and you can still get it through our Indiegogo page, but this thing's going shipping out in July, so we're cutting off all orders here in about a week. Anyhow, that is it for this month for me. I'm going to shut my pie hole and listen to everybody else's solicits and get my pen and paper out and start making some additions to my order list to Cowabunga. John, thank you so much for this show and for this community that you developed. And a shout out to Kay and James and Sam and just everybody else that participates and makes this the Comic Book Page podcast such a wonderful slice of infotainment for me. Check us out on the Slack channel. See if you can join us for an upcoming book club. We'd love to have you, and thanks again, everybody. Have a great summer.
This is Jason with my next pick in the previews catalog, and these next three picks will be focusing heavily in the Tomorrow section on page 435. So the first one I want to talk about is back issue 155. With the back issue series, they go into a certain theme or certain issues, and they will cover them, and they... Tomorrow's is very good about historical things, which I'll talk about later, but it says, this issue is haunted. Revisit the Bronze Age House of Mystery, House of Secrets, Unexpected, Marvel's failed horror anthologies, Haunted as well, Haunted Tank, Eerie Publications, House 2 Adaptation, Elvira's House of Mystery, and more. Chills and Thrills, courtesy of Neil Adams, Mike W. Barr, Dick Giordano, Sam Glansman, Robert Coniger, Ralph Macchio, Howard Mackey, Joe Orlando, Steranko, Bernie Wrightson, and more. I mean, that's a who's who of Bronze Age comics right there. So, but yeah, I look forward to that. They're always able to dig up old interviews or old tidbits of history. And I'm a big Bronze Age horror anthology fan, so I look forward to checking this out. This is Jason again, and my next pick is also on the same page, 435. It's Cryptozoology number one. So this is a new series from Tomorrow's, and I'll just kind of read the blurb and why I'm looking forward to it. It says, "Greetings, creep culturalists. For my debut issue, I, the cryptologist, with the help of From the Tomb editor Peter Normanton, have exhumed the worst horror comics excesses of the 1950s, killer bee movies to die for, and the creepiest, kookiest toys that crossed your bony little fingers as a child. But wait, do you dare enter the House of Usher or choose sides in the skirmish between the Addams Family and the monsters? Can you stand to gaze at Warren Magazine front pieces by this issue's cover artist Bernie Wrightson? Or spend some hammer time with that studio's most frightening films? And if Atlas pre-code covers or terrifying science fiction are more than you can take, stay away. All this and more is lurching towards you in Tomorrow's publishing latest and most decrepit magazine, just for retro horror fans, and featuring my henchmen Will Murray, Mark Volger, Barry Forshaw, Tim Leese, Peter Von Schaley, and Steve and Michael Cronenberg. So I'm highly looking forward to this series. I'm glad that it's horror themed, but it looks like it's doing pop culture as well as comics as well as magazines. Like I said in the previous solicit, my comics I enjoyed the most in terms of horror were the 70s anthologies, you know, so all the DC anthologies. I even enjoy the short-lived Marvel anthologies as well, and of course, creepy and eerie magazines. So looking forward to this. I hope they'll do this two or three times a year, and I'll be getting every single one of them. So highly recommend that if you are a classic horror fan. This is Jason again with my next pick in the previous catalog, also on page 435, and also from Tomorrow's Publishing. So I've been waiting on this book for a long time. It's called American Comic Book Chronicles, 1945 to 1949. It says, "The American Comic Book Chronicles continues its ambitious series of full-color hardcovers, where Tomorrow's top authors document every decade of comic book history from the 1940s to today. At long last, this 1945 to 49 volume covers the comic book industry during the aftermath of World War II, when scores of writers and artists returned from foreign battlefields to resume their careers. It was a period when readers began turning away from the escapist entertainment offered by superheroes in favor of other genres like the grittier, more brutal crime comics. It was a time when Joe Simon and Jack Kirby created Young Romance, inaugurating a golden age of romance comics. And it was during this five-year period that Timely and National Comics capitalized on the popularity of Westerns, that Bill Gaines plotted a new course for EC Comics in the wake of his father's death, and that Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster first sued for the rights to Superman. These are just a few of the events chronicled in this exhaustive, full-color hardcover, further documenting ACBC series' cohesive, linear overview of the entire landscape of comic book history." So the good news about this particular book is that it completes. So we basically have 1940s all the way through the 90s. So with the earlier 1940 to 44 and 45 to 49 were split up. The 60s were also split up into two books. But like the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s were all a single book. So I'm not sure how long, much longer they will continue the series. And I do hope they'll actually do one that's like the late 30s. I don't know how they would do that, maybe 35 to 39, since that was kind of the birth year of the comic book, and does include the creation of Superman, of course, and Batman in the late 30s. So I'm hoping that they'll be able to do that as well. It's probably going to be a much smaller book. This one's almost 300 pages, but there's so much history, and I'm just very glad they're saving this history, because I love to know, like, you know, what characters came out when, what was going on, not only in the world, but within the comic book industry. So it's a very good snapshot of time. So, but yeah, but basically, when this book comes out, we'll have 1940 all the way through 1999, which is the 90s book. So highly looking forward to this. Recommend this if you are a comic book history nerd like me. This is Jason with my next pick and last pick in the previews catalog in the toys and game merchandise section. It's on M44. It's Back to the Future Gray Sports Almanac. So if you have seen Back to the Future 2 which was my personal favorite of the Back to the Futures. There's a theme around this sports almanac that one of the characters gets in the future, but goes back in time and does a lot of betting, becomes rich, and basically changes the timeline, makes it a really bad timeline. So, but yeah, there's a lot of shenanigans around that. But you looks like you get a copy of this book. It's hardcover, 160 pages. It's not that bad. It's $21.95. But digging into the details, it does look like it literally has, it does have actually scores of games. And so maybe it is like a real true sports almanac. I don't know how much it can contain because that's a 50-year stretch there. So I don't know how small it'll be and all that. But definitely when you look at that cover, it brings back that nostalgia from the Back to the Future 2 movie. So I recommend this if you are a Back to the Future fan and always wanted to have that gray sports almanac of your own so you can go back to the past from the future and make yourself rich by betting on all the right games. So, but yeah, I think it'll be a really fun memento to have.
I hope everybody found something of interest in the pre-order catalogs this month. I want to thank Billy, Patrick, Mike, James, Brawlinator, Drew and Kyle from Comics for Fun and Profit, Nicholas and Jason for sending in clips. Got some great clips this time around. One or two things I might have missed otherwise. Now, next month is Preview Spotlight number 200, covering the July 2024 solicitations. I'd love to have so many clips, I have to split this up to a Wednesday and Friday episode just because we had so much participation. Whether that happens, that's up to you. We've got an open submission policy on these episodes. I'd like to get as many voices and opinions as about as many comics and trades and manga as possible in these episodes, but it's up to you. Sending in a clip is as easy as recording it on your computer or smartphone and sharing it with me via email or the Dropbox link I provide. You can always check the main page of the comic book page website for the latest information on that next deadline. It's usually the second Saturday of the month. In August, it's actually going to be the first Saturday of the month, and that's going to be a pretty hard deadline. And even then, I'm going to be pushing it to get the episode done. But next month for episode 200 of the Preview Spotlight, the deadline's going to be July 13th, 2024. That's that Saturday morning, 9 a.m. If you need a little bit of extra time, just let me know. I can usually work with you on that. Although, again, that's not going to be the case probably in August. But for July, early submissions would be appreciated. I've got a lot going on that week and that weekend and stuff. So I'm hoping to be able to get a lot of it done either Thursday or Friday evening and stuff if possible. But I can only do that if I've got the clips. If you can send them in early, great. If you need till that deadline, that's okay too. If you need a little longer, just work with me on that. And again, these episodes are what you guys make of them. So again, a lot of great clips this time around. Hopefully everybody found stuff of interest. That's the whole point of these episodes, is to match you guys up with the comics you're going to enjoy. But again, the more people who participate in the process, the better we succeed at that. So with that, let's call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.